Our New Testament reading today is from Revelation 6, verses 9 through 11, and you can find that on page 1920 in your pew Bible, if you'd like to follow along. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain, because the word of God and the testimony they had maintained. They called out loud, in a loud voice, "How long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood?" Then each of them was given a white robe, and they were told to wait a little longer until the full number of their fellow servants, their brothers and sisters, were killed just as they had been.
Our second reading is from Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. You may notice that I had Nick read the later verse early. I did this intentionally so that we can understand a little bit of the context of the passage that I'm about to read regarding the four horsemen and the apocalypse. I think it's best to read this passage, these four horsemen, in the context of these saints who are underneath the altar of heaven crying out to God for justice. Listen now for the word of the Lord. I watched as the Lamb opened the first of the seven seals. Then I heard one of the four living creatures say in a voice like thunder, "Come!" And I looked, and there before me was a white horse, and its rider held a bow. And he was given a crown. And he rode out as a conqueror bent on conquest. When the Lamb opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, everybody say it, "Come." Then another horse came out, a fiery red one, and its rider was given power to take peace from the earth and to make people kill each other. To him was given a large sword. And when the Lamb opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come." And I looked, and there before me was a black horse. Its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hand. Then I heard what sounded like a voice among the four living creatures saying, "2 pounds of wheat for a day's wage, and 6 pounds of barley for a day's wages, and do not damage the oil and the wine." And when the Lamb opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, "Come." I looked, and there before me was a pale horse. Its rider was named Death, and Hades was following close behind him. And they were given power over a fourth of the earth to kill by sword, famine, and plague, and by the wild beasts of the earth. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You have all seen this movie before. It's the late 1800s. There's a group of people headed out west with their covered wagons and their horses. They're on a trek. We're not exactly sure what for. It might be gold. Maybe they got to go see somebody. Maybe they're going to see if their prospects are better out west. As they're traveling one morning, on a hill, one of the people who is with them sees up on the hill a single horse and a man riding upon that horse. That person in the party knows what this means, and it's not good. They alert their party, "Get ready. We may be ambushed." As the people look back, they see upon that hill several more horses with men on top. ready to come and ambush their party. You've all seen this movie before, right? Yes! It's like a classic Wild West trope. And it's supposed to be really scary because you don't know how it's going to go down. The movie that came out this last year, Buster Scruggs, The Ballad of Buster Scruggs, there's this scene where this happens, where they're out by, a woman and a man are out by themselves, and they see Native Americans showing up over the hill, and they have to act. This, I believe, is what Revelation is trying to get at when it talks about the four horsemen of the apocalypse. It's supposed to evoke in its readers terror, the threat of violence and death, sheer, unbridled terror. The kind of terror that grabs you by the gut and just starts twisting. And if you've learned anything about the writer of Revelation, John, you know that he loves to make his audience uncomfortable. That's one of his number one priorities. He wants you to be uncomfortable. And he will say what he needs to say to make you that way. He is a shock jock to his core. His images are meant to confuse, confound, satire, and scare. And some of these images, like the four horsemen, manage to do all at the same time. So what are these strange color horses all about? What else are they trying to do besides terrorize us, the reader? John, I believe, is making a case that they have one single goal, these horsemen, to bring justice to the world, determined on loving and embracing evil. Justice meaning conforming the world to God's will. This is where Revelation seems to diverge from the God we see in the Gospels through Jesus Christ, and starts to resemble more like what we think about a tribal, vengeful God we often see described in the Old Testament. These horsemen unleash judgment and woe upon the earth, war, pestilence, death. And we start to think, how do we reconcile this with Jesus' command to turn the other cheek? How does this make sense with the command that Jesus gives us to love our enemies? Is this really how God would bring justice into the world with violence? Now you may notice, as John normally does, he doesn't give us easy answers. He's not concerned with your attempts to help make sense of his visions. He just keeps doling them out and expects you to act accordingly. And I think that's one of the things at the end of the passage that Nick read that I think is important for us to remember. It talks about at the end where these saints are crying out underneath the altar at heaven. And it says that God will only act after a certain number of people have been killed. Now, what does that do to you as a reader, right? He is again trying to remind you that you need to act now. Stop waiting. God needs witnesses, and you need to be among them. Your actions make a difference. By witnessing, you are making it possible for God to act. And so, once again, we see how John is motivating his readers. Whether you like it or not, how he does it, that's what he is doing. And so I think it's through this altar at heaven that we can start to understand what John is trying to get at with these horsemen and the destructive ways that they offer. I think 6 through 11 reveals some nice context for us to understand these destructive horsemen. There we get another peek into the heavenly throne room, yet another striking image, like the sacrificial worship in Isaiah and Israel. The worshiper would pour out the blood of sacrifice under the altar as well as on top of the altar. And here, an altar appears in heaven just like in the temple. And at that temple, there are people in the throne room underneath. These are Christians who have been killed by Rome. And they're crying out, "How long, O God? How long are we going to suffer? How long are people going to hurt because of what Rome has done to them?" This is another reminder that we need to keep in mind that the idea of God rapturing people before the tribulation does not exist in the book of Revelation. There is no rapture as most people understand it to be. In fact, throughout Revelation, Christians continue to suffer and die and are not given an emergency escape hatch out of that. This book believes in a church that is always present, one that doesn't disappear at the first sound of a trumpet. Now you notice these Christians underneath the altar are not happy at all. You would think that now their suffering is over, you know, maybe God's going to give them a nice lounge chair and a martini and say, "Hey, it's time to relax." And no, these people are not capable of relaxing. They cannot relax. Even now they are in the presence of God. No, they are crying out. They're anxious for God to get moving on this plan of His. They're ready to see an end to the injustice that ended their lives. And in other words, they cannot enjoy eternity with God as long as evil and oppression still run rampant over the earth. They cannot be at peace until that evil that killed them is conquered. So they ask God directly, "How much longer do we have to wait? Did our suffering mean anything?" You can hear in the emotion of their plea that this must have come from something either John felt himself or either something that other Christians had expressed right to John. It's a plea that has been uttered by Christians in every time and place. How long is evil going to have power over us? How long will the innocent suffer at the hands of evil people, government, and corporations? God, please do something. God, reveal yourself. Bring justice upon the earth. It's this plea for justice that these four horsemen are let loose over the world. They are God's opening salvo into establishing a world of evil and oppression. And at first, as you're reading this book, you think, okay, well, these four horsemen are God's angels, right? But you notice, as you read Revelation, that actually God is just unleashing them, right? Remember, the four living creatures are actually unleashing these powers. And then, as we read further into it, you start to realize that actually these horsemen are actually the forces of evil in the world personified. They are the kinds of things that Rome would use to hurt the world. They represent the things of Rome that they would unleash on Christians and on others. The keys of death, they believed that they had the power of death and life, Rome did. The power of war, the power of famine to hold back from communities who they are not happy with. And so what we see as we dig into this book is that the four horsemen are actually Rome's comeuppance. You ever heard the phrase, "You live by the sword, you'll die by the sword"? That is what these four horsemen represent. Rome getting a taste of their own medicine. helping them realize who truly is in charge. Wild stuff. So what are we supposed to do with this chapter? What are we supposed to take home from this? The point that struck me the most, that I think really is powerful, is the moment that God is hearing the cries of the suffering and God has committed to doing something about it. How often do we dismiss the cries for justice from the poor, the addicted, the oppressed, the exiled in our midst? We judge those folks, often saying they got what they deserved or it's their fault, refusing to acknowledge the injustice that created the problem in the first place. But Revelation tells us that God will act on behalf of those that we have marginalized, exiled, or oppressed, and we will eat our words when God does it if we have not aligned ourselves with those who cry out for justice. That is the take-home. That God hears those voices, that they're not lost to God. That despite all the oppression, all the mess we see in this world, and we see a lot of it on a regular basis, God has not lost those voices. God hears those voices crying out. How long, O God? How long? And today, may we as Christians join our voices to those voices in the world saying, how long, O Lord, before your justice reigns supreme? How long before you will act? That should be our lament, our call to God. Instead of echoing the greed, the materialism, the nonsense of this world that Rome reflected. So this week, find your ways to hear those voices in the world crying out against injustice and add your voice to theirs. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.